What's up, guys? Welcome to Southwest Ohio Full Court Press, and thanks for tuning in on this Sunday evening. I hope everyone had a great weekend, and we had a lot of great basketball games. I'm your host, Tony Peters, and I'm coming at you tonight for a week two reveal of the power rankings. I sent the latest update over to Seth a couple hours ago, and we're going to use this episode in order for us to kind of talk about who has moved. We had quite a bit of movement in all four divisions, several new teams, and mostly every team, every division, excuse me, dropped at least one team as well. So not necessarily the best news for those groups, but obviously there's room to move still very early in the year. So we're going to jump into that here in just a second. So in Division 1, let's go ahead and reveal the latest power rankings going into Week 3 of the season. This is our Week 2 power rankings since it was a conclusion of Week 2 that we're doing this. In Division 1, the top two teams remain unchanged. You got Centerville at number 1 and Wayne at number 2. Neither teams have played yet as they're both on pauses. The big one, Wayne, I actually know they are starting, I believe it is December 14th is what Coach Martindale told me. And Centerville, I'm not sure when they start. I believe it's around that same time span. Once they start playing games, we'll obviously be sharing more about them. Number three, coming in the number three slot, will be Miamisburg, who is 2-0. The Vikings beat Carroll this week 46-37 and Tecumseh 52-39. One of the bigger things with this Vikings group is they had both of those games without Anthony Kopic, their star junior, who I've talked about in the past episodes. Not sure if it's an injury or what's going on there, but the fact that the Vikings have won two games without Kopic is definitely a good sign for them. Coming in at number four on one of our new teams entirely, the Troy Trojans of the Miami Valley League. They are 2-0 as well. They came out, their first two games of the year beat Greenville big 65-35. And then arguably their biggest win so far in this very early season, they beat West Carrollton 64-52. They have had a good strong start from Shaden Olden, their senior, who's putting up 23 points per game and was very, very big, especially in that West Carrollton game. And then obviously our number five team is going to be just that team we just said, the West Carrollton Pirates. They are 1-1. They beat Xenia 78-71 on Wednesday night, and then fell to Troy, as I just said. The Pirates are kind of in a rough situation right now. They unfortunately have not played with Alan Lattimore. There's transfer from Stivers. I'm not going to dig into why he's not playing. It's just a personal matter. But Lattimore's out right now. And then also their 6'7 big man, Igbaki Kadari, their best rim protector, unfortunately went out. He went out with an injury in the first quarter in that Xenia game. I thought it was an ankle injury from the live stream that I watched. Turns out it could be more serious. They're doing some more tests, but he's out indefinitely as well. So the Pirates were without two of their best players in that Troy game. But there was definitely some concerns even leading up to that. Xenia, they were up by 23 points and unfortunately let the Buccaneers come back in that second half. And then obviously losing to Troy is not good. But West Carrollton has, in my opinion, the best sophomore right now that is playing. And Sam Walker, he put up 29 in that win against Xenia. He's averaging 14 rebounds a game through the first two that they've played. And he's kind of asserted himself as he's the top player in the post for this group. So for West Carrollton, this is definitely something that you hope that they can rebound from. Still very early in the year, so I'm not too concerned in terms of, you know, are we in panic mode yet? But West Carrollton's still a top five team regardless. And this week, there are three teams in the honorable mention category. For the second week in a row, we have Beaver Creek. They unfortunately took a big loss on Monday night, 77-41 to Cincinnati Elder. But they avenged themselves with a 54-50 win over Springboro Friday night. Fairmont moves down to honorable mention. They haven't played yet. They're one of those teams, again, that's on a break. And then the Butler Aviators with Tyler Monahue is coming in. They are 2-0 with a hot start to early here in the year. They beat Stebbins and I believe Piqua was their other victory this week. You may be asking, why'd you move Fairmont down even though they were on a pause? I thought you said last week you weren't going to be moving these teams around. Well, I felt like Miamisburg obviously deserved to move up. The fact that they had won two games without their best player. Troy obviously had shown with the win over West Carrollton that they belonged. And then when looking at West Carrollton, I can't punish West Carrollton. They don't have their two best players right now. And granted, Fairmont has not played a game yet. I just feel like it's unfair to unseed West Carrollton at this point until they at least get Lattimore or Kadari back. And then we can see if they're the same group. But in terms of right now, that's where we got these teams ranked. And we got three honorable mentions that are knocking on the door. Moving to Division II, it'll be a little bit quicker because, again, a lot of three teams here not moving. Our top three is the same as last week. Trotwood Madison is number one, Dunbar number two, Alter number three. None of them have started playing yet. Alter of those three will be playing sooner than later. Trotwood and Dunbar, again, as I mentioned last week in the episode, are not playing until probably January. In this one, number four remains the same. Tippecanoe, 2-0. They are coming off of wins against Stebbins, 69-50, and Xenia Big, 88-62. Ben Knosman, their senior, who's a Winthrop signee, had a triple-double in that Stebbins game. I didn't see stats for the Xenia game yet. I wouldn't be surprised if he put up close to a triple-double again. What a fantastic point guard he is and such a great floor general. It's hard to find a lot of point guards in the MVL or even in Division II entirely that can compete like he can. Coming in at number five, we have a new team as well. Saw these guys live on Friday night. It is the Fenwick Falcons, who are only 1-0. They beat Carroll 41-32 Friday night, and they kind of showed that they are a team to watch out for in the GCL. Very good defensive performance from that group. Wright State signee A.J. Braun played very well, and so I felt like they deserved to be moving these rankings. And then you got two also-rans. As you're probably noticing, we had to drop a team out. Oakwood dropping out of the rankings after a 1-2 start. After the Lumberjacks beat Preble Shawnee the first week of the season, they fell twice this week by over 20 points combined between losses against Bellbrook and Franklin. So Oakwood, they're working on some things right now. I'll leave it at that. I'm sure they will find themselves back in the rankings once they kind of get some things figured out. In the short term, though, the two teams that we have ranked currently, the Chaminade Julien Eagles, they are the winners 54-52 against Northmont in overtime Tuesday night. Big win for the Eagles. And then we also have the Monroe Hornets. Monroe comes in. They lost Tuesday 77-72 to Edgewood. Edgewood had a guy, Caleb Allen, drop 47 points in that game. Hard to compete against those numbers. And then Monroe beat Bellbrook 59-47 to avenge themselves in a swivel game, giving them a ranking here. Bellbrook would probably be another team I would have put on this list, but they are 1-2. They lost to Monroe, obviously. After beating Oakwood Tuesday night, I thought for sure that the Eagles would be contending for a spot here, but especially without their star, Gabe Pavlock. But at least for now, we're going to hold them off until otherwise. So that kind of rounds out Division II again, with three of the teams not playing yet. It's kind of hard to see a lot of movement, at least for the 1-3 slots. And then we've got Tip remaining, and then Fenwick CJ Monroe now adding themselves under the radar. Moving to Division III. Division III is another one. We have got really the top four remains the same, with our five spot being a different one. Number one will be the Greenview Rams for the second straight week. Rhett Birch and company beat Mechanicsburg 70-51 Friday night. Birch put up 25 points in the win. Cole Allen put in 18 points, and both of them are averaging about six assists each. So it's becoming very apparent from that first game that Cole Allen and Rhett Birch are going to have a lot to do with this Greenview offense. Miami East, the Young Vikings defeated Mississinewa Valley. They're coming in at number two. They beat the Warhawks 77-45 Friday night. Another good win for them. Number three, National Trail. Last week I advised they were playing this week. They are not. They were supposed to play Preble Shawnee and are not playing them, obviously. So the Blazers are going to remain at the number three slot while they have not played yet. Number four will be Preble Shawnee. After losing to Oakwood last week, the Arrows got back to the winning ways. 72-69 over Northridge. Preble Shawnee led by Bryce Singleton, their senior, who's averaging 25.5 points and 13.5 rebounds in two games into the year, as well as their freshman phenom Mason Shrout, who's putting in 22 points per game as well. Very good Preble Shawnee team. They are actually up for our game of the week for Tuesday night, which I'll talk about here shortly. And our new team, number five, coming in and replacing Dayton Christian, we have got West Liberty Salem out of the Ohio Heritage Conference. The Tigers are winners over Greenan 54-44 and Northeastern 58-45. And then they obviously, their reason to make the rankings was their win over Fairlawn, who was the number two ranked team in our Division IV power rankings. They beat the Jets 55-53 yesterday to cement themselves into this top five. They've got a player, Nick Burden, who's third in the Ohio Heritage Conference in scoring right now. And they've got several pieces back from a team that, you know, this Tigers group has been a consistent contender out of the Ohio Heritage Conference really the last 3 years. So it's no surprise at all that I see them here at 3-1. Their lone loss came last week to Miami East. They got beat by double digits, but obviously the Tigers are poised for a good showing. As I mentioned, Dayton Christian drops out of the rankings. The Warriors just picked up two losses, and we had to bump them down, unfortunately. Lost to Bethel, and then they had lost also, I'm drawing a blank who they had lost to in week one, but they lost to Bethel this week in overtime, and I believe they beat Emmanuel Christian 37-28. So the Warriors are out for now, but they're definitely only going to be out for maybe a few weeks. I can see them easily coming back in here in Division III. And then our two teams being added out of Division III in the honorable mention. I kind of foreshadowed this last week, but the Dixie Greyhounds are on the watch list. They are 2-1, and then Carlisle comes in at 1-1. Carlisle actually was a winner over Dixie yesterday, 61-49, handed Dixie their first loss after a 2-0 start. Both of these teams, it's kind of hard to come up with. D3, there's not a lot of teams that are, you know, with a positive record right now. So obviously this is a tough one to pick, but we will see as the next couple of weeks wear on and see who kind of positions themselves where once everyone gets back to playing, and we'll see if anyone else adds into this list or if Dixie and Carlisle can punch themselves into the top five. And rounding out the power ranking update, we have got Division IV, which is loaded. Of the seven teams that are going to be talked about, six are undefeated. And obviously this week we will see some of those unbeaten fall, but at least going into the week, we got a lot to talk about here. Continuing retaining their number one slot will be Botkins at 3-0. This week they added wins over Anna 63-47. And Marion Local 42-30 to retain that top number one slot. Jaden Pretty Powell put up 22 points in the win over Anna, and then obviously had another strong showing in that second win against Marion Local. Coming in at number two, Fort Loramie. They got a big win Friday night, 36-31 over Jackson Center, knocking the Tigers down. And then they destroyed New Knoxville 50-19 last night. The Redskins, really it's a neck-and-neck race early on here with them and Botkins. The Redskins beating Jackson Center clearly being a solid win, and it now matches them and Botkins have both beaten Jackson Center in different fashions. Obviously, Botkins putting up 68 points against the Tigers, while you know, Fort Loramie only put up 36, so that'll be interesting to see when these two match up. Is that say anything about these two teams? We all know Botkins is a lot more faster paced than what Fort Loramie likes to play, so it'll be telling if the Trojans can continue to ride this momentum. Tri-Village, They will sit in hit number three again for another week. They are 2-0. Their only game this week, they picked up a 66-60 overtime win over Bethel. I'm convinced Bethel must have listened to this podcast when I talked about Tri-Village putting up 88 in their first game, because obviously taking the Patriots to overtime and holding them under 70 points. I did say if you hold them under 60, you have a chance to win. You know, 66 is a little higher, but if the Bees would have held them under 60, they would have won this basketball game. So great job, Bethel, to give Tri-Village a run for their money for sure. Number four, we have... excuse me, we have two new teams at number four and number five. At number four, the St. Henry Redskins. I talked about them last week being out of the Midwest Athletic Conference, that we were going to wait a little bit to add a team. Well, St. Henry picked up a very good win this weekend, beating St. Mary's Memorial 46-45. And I felt that was enough for them to earn a top five spot now. And the Redskins are going to be... you know, the win over St. Mary's, big Austin Park, 6'9" center for the Rough Riders of St. Mary's Memorial, is one of the best prospects in the 2023 class. So for St. Henry to beat him, it says a lot about where this program's at. And then coming in at number five, we will have the Cedarville Indians, who came off a 65-40 win against Bell Fountain. They had good performances from seniors Trent Koning and Isaiah Ramey. They're two studs. And the Indians are going to come in here, even though they're just one game into the young season. They debut at number five in the second week of the power rankings. Jackson Center obviously dropping out, and Fairlawn dropping out. Fairlawn is going to be in our honorable mention list. They're 1-1. Obviously, they lost, as I mentioned previously, to West Liberty Salem, which knocked them out of the power rankings. And then Minster is the other team on the honorable mention list. The Tigers are 2-0. They've got a guy in Justin Nixon, a 6'6 senior, who is averaging a double-double, put up 29 points and 23 rebounds and a win. I forget who Minster played, but they're 2-0 to start the year off as well. Jackson Center dropping out of the rankings this week, obviously with a 1-2 start. They did win last night. I forget who they played, but they did win after losing to Fort Loramie. So at least the Tigers did avenge themselves there, and that will round out the power ranking. So as you're probably seeing, we've got four divisions, four number one seeds, all being the same from last week. No changes there. But what we're going to talk about here in a second, there are eight games I have again this week that I have on my list that are going to be interesting to watch. So let's go ahead and dive into those eight games. All right, we are back to talk about the eight games this week that I've got on my list that you should know about and be keeping an eye on. Eight very good basketball games here, mostly between Division III and IV schools, but you're going to see a few teams you should watch. Our first one will feature two ranked teams currently. Number five ranked West Carrollton out of Division I, and number four ranked Tippecanoe in Division II. They are slated to face off. As I mentioned in the recap, West Carrollton is without two of their players in Alan Lattimore and Igbaki Kadari. It's a major concern of mine because obviously West Carrollton fell to Troy, and I feel if they had both of those players, they would have at least had a closer game, if not would have won that matchup. For Tippecanoe, again, they are off to a 2-0 start, and they're getting a lot of good play out of Ben Knosman. In this one, I'm going to be looking at West Carrollton for them. Obviously, you've got your phenomenal center in Sam Walker, the 6'6 true power center that's averaging a double-double right now. You know, can he continue to be a bully in the paint against this Tippecanoe team? And for the Red Devils, it's going to be, can you attack and get West Carrollton out of sync? At least in the Xenia game, the Pirates did find themselves in foul trouble with their starting backcourt of Stanley Shrivers and Deshaun Ferguson finding themselves on the bench at times. For Tippecanoe, if you can get into West Carrollton's bench because they're in foul trouble, they're going to have a good chance of putting these guys away. And for Knosman, obviously, you know, if he can continue to put up the numbers he's been putting up in terms of scoring himself, getting rebounds, closing out possessions, and then getting the ball to his teammates, I think the Red Devils could win this basketball game. The next game we have on here is Preble Shawnee at Waynesville. The Arrows are number 4 in Division 3. Waynesville's unranked. Waynesville's getting play from a very good senior guard in Cole Todd, one of the better shooters you're going to find in the Southwestern Buckeye League. And then Preble Shawnee, obviously, they're two-headed monster, Bryce Singleton and Mason Trout combining for over 40 points a game between the two. For the Arrows, I'm going to be looking to see who else besides Trout and Singleton steps up in this one. Obviously, they've got a couple other players on this roster that can put up numbers. But when you play against Waynesville, Waynesville's a very good defensive group. And they got obviously got a new coach and Coach Mike Holweger. And he's going to focus on the defensive end. The Spartans, if they can keep Preble Shawnee to a minimum of under 55 points, I'd say total, they're gonna have a chance to win this ball game as long as they can score themselves. So for Waynesville, you need to give Cole Todd opportunities to take over this ball game. You know, if Cole Todd gets confident, gets comfortable, I think he can put up big numbers in this matchup. And then obviously they got to defend. They got to know where Bryce Singleton is and keep him off the glass. Obviously, he's averaging almost 14 rebounds a game right now. You can't afford to let him get going. And like I said, for Preble Shawnee, they just got to find other guys between Strout and Singleton. You know, now that we're 2 weeks into the year, every team now knows those two are your key guys. So if you can't afford to have a game where your 3, 4, and 5 best players don't step up, and as a result you drop an early swivel game against a team that you could win against. In this one, I do think the Arrows will go on the road and win. Mason Trout's been a difference maker. Again, when you're putting up 22 points a game as a freshman, it says a lot about where you're at as a player. So I think the Arrows will win this one. And it's important to note as well with this game, we actually on our Twitter page right now at SWFCP.com have a poll going for what our game of the week is going to be. We've got 3 Southwestern Buckeye League games up for grabs. This one is one of the games you can vote for. Another one is Milton Union at Carlisle. That's on Tuesday night. And then the last one is this third game that I'm about to talk about here, Monroe at Franklin. So make sure you go to SWOFCP, our Twitter page, to vote for which game we're going to go to. So that third game is going to be Monroe at Franklin. Monroe is on the watch list currently in Division 2, Franklin unranked. Franklin is 2-0 to start the year, but they come at it, they do play in Division 1, so it's kind of hard to put them in a ranking position with the MVL and GWOC being the main contributors in that division. As I mentioned in the last week's piece talking about Franklin, who had a game against Oakwood, Tez Lattimore has been a phenomenal start to the season as a guard. He's really making a difference on both ends of the floor. He will be tasked with defending Marty Zumbiel, Monroe's top scorer right now. And this Hornets team has done pretty good to start the year. Obviously, the Edgewood game, they just got unlucky going up against a kid that dropped nearly 40 points. And then they avenged themselves in that Belbrick game. I think Monroe is going to have – they got the guard play that they may have an advantage over Franklin. Where they're going to have to really step up is their interior play. Can you take Noah Rich and Nate Parlberg out of the picture? If you can control the glass against this Franklin team, that's going to play a large role. You're also going to have to play pretty solid defense because Franklin is going to look to shoot the ball as – often as possible. You can't let them get hot, so they got to play some solid defense. For Franklin, I want to see them speed the game up. Obviously, if you can get Monroe into high scoring games, you have a chance to win. If it gets lower scoring, it plays more into Monroe's comfort zone. I think Franklin will defend home court here and will take this game, but don't be surprised if Monroe does make this a close one. Our fourth game, I'm assuming this is happening. It'll be Carlisle at National Trail. Carlisle's on our watch list. Obviously, National Trail is sitting at number 3. They've yet to play. I am not sure this game is going to happen because I'm not sure when National Trail is returning to play. If this is the first game for the Blazers, it's going to be a tough one. Obviously, Carlisle comes at you with some size and Nolan Burney and some good players and Roman Newsome and Joe Gay. If Carlisle can continue to feed the post, if they can use Nolan Burney and they can defend Cameron Harrison, I think they are going to come away in this one. Obviously, National Trail, this would be their first game of the year. This would not be a bad look for them if they lose, but I do think that this is not the team they definitely wanted to play to start the season off. If this game happens, I'm taking Carlisle on the road in this one. Our fifth game will feature Miami East, the number two team in Division III, up against the Graham Falcons. Graham, I believe, has not played a game yet to start the year. They have got a senior in Brady King that I anticipate will be one of the better scorers. This Graham team last year, injuries really hurt them. Their best players were out with injuries. King missed half the year. Kevin Miller, who's now gone, he's graduated, was their best interior player, and I believe he only appeared in five games. So this Graham team didn't really have a full squad all year. And then one of their better scorers, Nick Prince, transferred, and guess where he transferred to? You guessed it, Miami East. The Vikings, obviously, off to a very strong start to early in the year, and they're a young team. I feel very confident that this group can go on the road to a Graham team that has not played a game yet and take care of business. Obviously, they've had no problem scoring the basketball, and I don't anticipate them having issues against this Graham group. So I'm going to continue to ride Miami East as my favorite, as they should move with a big W in this one. These last three games are very big matchups, and they're going to really play big. There's big bucks here at play in Division IV with these three matchups. First, you got the Minster Tigers up against the Botkins Trojans. And this game's going to feature one of the best matchups you're going to see this week in Minster's senior Justin Nixon and Botkins junior Jacob Plyman. Nixon is 6'6", big body in the paint. Again, as I mentioned with Minster in the ranking recap, put up 29 points and 23 rebounds in Minster's opening win. Then you got Jacob Plyman, Botkins' big man, who you can listen to past episodes to know how I feel about Mr. Plyman. But this is going to be a great matchup for both of these guys. For Nixon, he's going to get a test. And for this Minster group as a whole, it's a test because Botkins is not an easy team to beat. A very good offensive team, as you've seen, with them putting up 68 against Jackson Center last week and putting 63 against Anna. The 42-point game against Marion Local, I'm not too concerned with because the Flyers do like to slow the game down a lot, and so I'm not too concerned with that. But for Minster, hopefully they are watching that Marion Local game and realize that's what they have to do. You're going to have to slow Botkins down as much as possible. This Trojan team is going to really depend on Jaden Pretty, Powell, and Zane Paul in that backcourt. And then I would hope Jacob Plyman can have a big game for him, but obviously with Justin Nixon possibly guarding him, that's not going to be an easy time for Plyman. So Botkins, I want to see offensively who else besides those three I just named. Carter Plyman had a good showing in one of those games this past week. Can he do it again? Overall, can this Botkins team get a win here? They're going to need a win because they get a tough matchup following that. This is Tuesday night. They'll host Minster. Friday, they will go to Fort Loramie for what I will say is the game of the week, regardless of where you're at. Number one, Botkins at number two, Fort Loramie. This game is going to determine who's in the lead in the Shelby County Athletic League to start the early season, and really who's got the number one spot in Division IV is what this one's going to come down to. Fort Loramie has shown that they have got some bodies that they can go to. They got a little bit of length. Haven't seen them play live yet, but obviously watching them, they've won two games to start the year off playing different styles of play. Both of these teams have a common opponent in Jackson Center, with both teams winning. But as I mentioned earlier, Botkins won a higher scoring affair, scoring 68 but giving up 55. Fort Loramie winning by scoring 36 but giving up 31. I do believe a lot of that was Jackson Center likely just playing even slower than they did against Botkins in the Fort Loramie game. But nonetheless, for Fort Loramie, I'm going to be curious to see how do they do if Botkins speeds it up. I have no doubt in my mind that's exactly what they're going to do. And this Fort Loramie team defensively, they look really good. Again, giving up 31. They gave up 19 points to New Knoxville Saturday night. This is a very good group. I'm not going to pick a winner in this one because I don't know if I can pick a winner in this one because both these teams are playing very good basketball right now. Obviously, it stinks that we can't have full gyms. If this was a full gym, I'd probably take Fort Laramie to win at home. But with this not being a full gym, I'm not going to pick a team. So sorry to pop that bubble for anyone that was hoping I would pick one or the other. That takes us into our final game, which will be Jackson Center at Fairlawn. That matchup, Jackson Center again dropping out of the rankings because of the 1-2 start. This will give them an opportunity to prove that they do belong still against a Fairlawn team that frankly took a loss I was surprised with them losing by 2 against West Liberty Salem. This game, I'm really going to be concerned if Fairlawn is going to be able to play Jackson Center pace. Obviously, only 2 games in the year for them, and they have not played a team, in my opinion, at Jackson Center's level. While West Liberty Salem is a good group, I don't know necessarily if they are comparative to the Tigers. So this is going to be an early test for Fairlawn. And for Jackson Center, I'm hoping to see a little more confidence out of their guards. Last time I saw these guys play was against Botkins in their first game of the year. With both the guards I watch being sophomores, how are they going to play against a Fairlawn team that is quite experienced, to put it frankly? So I think in this one, again, it's a tough one to call. If I had to pick a team, I'm going to go with Jackson Center on the road. I think Coach Elkert will have them ready to play Friday night, and I don't anticipate them running into issues, especially when you have a player like Aiden Reichert, their senior guard, their senior wing to go through. So that will wrap up the games for the week, and that'll really wrap up this episode. So I want to thank you for tuning in. A couple things before I jump off here. Again, make sure you go to our Twitter page at SWOFCP and vote for Game of the Week. Before I jumped on here, we had about 90 votes already, which is awesome. And I would love to see more people vote to kind of see where we're going to end up. Seth and I have some exciting news to share, hopefully the end of next week, in terms of coverage for the rest of the year. And speaking of coverage, make sure if you haven't done so already, check out our website, swofcp.com. As I mentioned last week, we've got game recaps from all the games we've been to in person, as well as watched on live stream. Games that have been added since then, I know, is Oakwood against Bellbrook, West Carrollton in their game against Xenia. Covington and Layman Catholic, their game from last week was added on there. And then in the next day or so, keep an eye, Carroll Fenwick should be added on. Seth will be doing a recap of that one. Again, a lot of people don't know that we have that site and that we have those recaps, but please go out and check them out, share them, like them. They are free to anyone to read and to check out. And we just ask that you guys, you know, obviously support local business. And, you know, it's early in the year. If you're a team in our power rankings, you're not happy where you're at, we're only 2 weeks in. You know, it's really hard to gauge, and really it's very difficult for me to really do a lot in terms of rank these teams because we've only had two weeks into the year. And frankly, when you look at this list, there are 6 teams that haven't even played a game yet that we've got ranked. Excuse me, 7 if you count Fairmont, who's in the watch list in Division I. And of those teams, 3 of them are in Division I and 3 are in Division II. It's very hard. So bear with us as we power through this season. You know, hopefully by January, we will have a better gauge of who is the true top 5 and which teams can maybe rotate in and out. But for now, we're going off of what we see and what we read. And I feel very confident in the 4 number 1 seeds that we have. And obviously, like I said, this week will give us an opportunity for more teams to prove that they do belong or they deserve a higher spot. I'm definitely going to call it that Botkins and Fort Laramie will be the best game of the week. Highly recommend you check out their live streams. I know Botkins has on their YouTube is where they air those games. And then at Fort Laramie, I believe they do as well. And finally, you know, Seth and I look at ourselves as resources. We try to be resources for the players in this area and for the fans. So as I mentioned last week, there's about 30 schools that have YouTube channels that are going to air the games. If you are a fan and you want to know where you can check out a team, you can always check out your school or your opponent's Twitter pages, or talk to the athletic departments, or you feel free to reach out to us. Any information I have in terms of YouTube channels, I'm glad to share with anybody. Obviously, it's a trying time that we can't go watch games in person in terms of like fans. So I understand the frustration, and I will do everything I can in terms of the resources I have to allow fans to be aware of where they can watch their team and support their program. Again, Seth and I will have kind of some exciting news in regards to that, but we're going to be waiting until the end of next week to share that. I think a lot of people are really going to enjoy this news. It's something we've kind of teased to in the past, and we're excited to finally be taking the steps towards completing. Again, I want to thank you for tuning in to this episode. Tune in later this week for game recaps of any games Seth and I attend in person. And as always, tune in next week as we reveal another power ranking update after another good week of basketball. So for Southwest Ohio Full Court Press, this is Tony Peters, your host. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you soon.